Lord Jesus, I just want to pause right now and say thank you. Thank you for coming as a tiny baby, for giving up so that you could live life like we do, so that we can be with you for all eternity. Thank you for that incredible privilege that we have to be your friend and for you to be our King. And Lord, today we just want to have open ears, open hearts to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, we ask you to move in these words, will be his words. Whatever comes through his mouth will just be anointed by you. We pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Melissa. Well, just before the anointed words start, I've got a joke for you. You might have seen it on Facebook too. This is the real reason it was a silent night. Did you see this one? The real reason it was a silent night. And there's Mary and Joseph, and Joseph's going, look, how many times do I have to say I'm sorry? That's why it was a silent night. Bit of cold shoulder or hot tongue, you know what? Yep. Anyway, that's the funny bit. Got a bit of a giggle anyway, I suppose. It's better than nothing, isn't it, eh? So it begins, December, Christmas, trying to maintain a focus on what's important and it was held so precious, and working out and remembering that the precious stuff is about family and the focus is about a family, that particular family that was portrayed there from birth to dying cry, if I could put it like that. And in the middle of all that, did you notice Jesus in the temple? What was he doing? Did you notice that couple of seconds of Jesus in the temple? He had the scrolls. That's how they had the scriptures in the Jewish temple. So he was about to... I was going to read this later. Okay, it was right at the top. We were supposed to be... He read from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Remember, there's still a lot of people think he's a craze. And he's in the temple, and he's a local. And he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Then he closed the scroll and sat down and said something like, here it is. This day the scripture is fulfilled right here and now. A little blasphemous and reinforcing those who thought he was nuts. But some are going, I'm excited. Christ, our liberation, has arrived. The one who said he would come to set his people free is here. And he's saying, don't go looking here, there, or everywhere for the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is right here and right now. Hallelujah. And that's where it started. And we're still in that era here today in Long Jetty. There's a couple of mentions today of 6 years, TJ and someone else. Yeah, 6 years. It's 6 years since we started coming to this broken community of faith here at Long Jetty. 6 years we've been coming here. And I still don't know everyone's names. Woo, I know most of them. Because we're not always here ourselves. When I think of liberation, we're talking about Christ the liberator, the one who sets us free. My mind goes back to my childhood when I was devouring books about the Second World War. And one of those planes, one of those bombers, anyone else into World War II aircraft? I can see there's a stack of hands going up all across the auditorium. It was called a liberator. You know that, Ethan? I don't know why they called it a liberator. It didn't liberate anyone, just dropped bombs. But I want to think about the liberation of Christ today. It was late 1871 that Henry Morton Stanley finally located David Livingstone near Lake Tanganyika in Africa. And we know that because Stanley is the bloke that said... Well, something like that. You're close, but no cigar. He said, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. See, everyone who's got grey hair remembers that. Dr. Livingstone, I presume. That's what happened. So he found Dr. David Livingstone, who had been gone for years, I think it was 12 years, and no one knew where the heck he was. They only knew he'd gone to Africa. So this man, Stanley, this was just the beginning of many adventures, and a lot of them involving Africa. So between 1870 and 1895, he wrote 8 books. The majority of them were about Africa. The most notable book was a book called In Darkest Africa, which he wrote in 1890. This was the time when the Salvation Army was just kicking off. William Booth and Catherine Booth were just starting to get a grip on the vision that God had given them to do something. And he was inspired when he read this book. He called it In Darkest England. But he didn't stop there. He called it In Darkest England and The Way Out. He didn't just say, here's a problem, we got a problem. He said, and here's the solution. And it was a strategy, it was a template for an amazing vision or fulfillment of social programs and welfare, all of them based on kingdom principles and values, and all of them with Jesus at the center of it. Now, I just happen to have one right here. That's the book. That's over 100 years old, that book, and you can see because, like any Australian bloke who knows what he's worth, he bound it up with some gaffer tape. Nothing you can't fix with gaffer tape or a wire coat hanger. It's true, isn't it? So in this book, I'm going to just read a little passage. He quotes Dr. Stanley, who had been to Africa in the Congo, and he said this. Now remember that this was written a long time ago, about 130 years ago. So the language is a little not 2019. He says this, Dr. Stanley, and Booth is quoting him. The denizens of this region, that's the inhabitants, right, are filled with the conviction that the forest is endless, interminable. In vain did Mr. Stanley and his companions endeavour to convince them that outside the dreary wood were to be found sunlight, pasturage and peaceful meadows. They replied in a manner that seemed to imply that we must be strange creatures to suppose that it would be possible for any world to exist save their illimitable forest. There's a word you haven't heard for a long time. Not forest, but illimitable. No, they replied, shaking their heads compassionately and pitying our absurd questions. All like this. And they moved their hands sweepingly to illustrate that the world was all alike. Nothing but trees, trees and trees. Great trees rising as high as an arrow shot to the sky, lifting their crowns intertwining their branches, pressing and crowding one against the other until neither the sunbeam nor shaft of light can penetrate it. They thought that's all there was. And it's not as simple as saying, no, there's more. No, you've got to get out of this place. We got to get out of ever do. Little duet with Gail there. They didn't know there was another place. They were locked in. They thought this was normal. And so Booth writes this book and says, well, there's a submerged tenth of the population right here in England, particularly in the East End of London, that are submerged, oppressed, marginalised, disenfranchised people. And here's the plan to do something about it based on Jesus and his cross. Great book. Incidentally, there's a bloke called Rod down in Sydney who read this book. He was brought up as a Catholic, started going to the Salvation Army at Auburn, read this book and started Salvos Legal. He says this is part of the plan that Booth was talking about over 100 years ago. Help people with legal advice. There you go. Still works. It's an inspired dream which still challenges the Salvation Army programs in 2019 and us personally. I'm currently reading through Luke with a mate of mine. We've been at it for months getting through Luke. But in Luke chapter 8, I read this, which reminded me once again that Jesus was always about disturbing the comfortable and comforting the disturbed. He did that really well and consistently and all the time, even if it rubbed people up the wrong way. Those who thought they were comfortable, they thought they were religious, and Jesus is saying, well, maybe not. Maybe you got an issue. In Luke 8, verse 1 to 3, there's a beautiful story about a lady called Joanna. This is interesting because, see, the Jewish culture is quite patriarchal. Men are the centre of... This is back in a time when, first of all, when Jesus was born, there's a king called Herod in place, and Herod gets all thingy about, oops, they say this guy is going to be a king of Israel. So, in a classic overstatement or overreaction, he orders the destruction, the genocide of everyone under 2 years of age. All the baby boys. How horrendous is that? So that's King Herod, right? He has some sons. One of his sons, Herod Antipas, is the guy who was such a wimp that when Salome did that fantastic dance, he was so impressed, he thought, name what you want. That was amazing, amazing. What do you want? And she says, with her mother whispering in her ear, ask for John the Baptist's head on a plate. Like you do. So old weak-kneed Herod Antipas orders John the Baptist to be decapitated and brings the head in. Grace, eh? So this is the king. Now, Herod Antipas's business manager is a bloke called Chusa. His wife is this lady, Joanna. Obviously, it starts to simplify in a bit, so hang with me, all right? Joanna and Chusa, her husband, or Chaza, depends if you're Australian or not, Chaza. They obviously hear Jesus, decide that he is the Messiah, and decide to give their allegiance to him. How do I know that? Because Joanna, with a few other women, chose to follow Jesus. And it says in Luke chapter 8, if you read it at the beginning, that Jesus is doing this tour of small villages around the area. And with the disciples is a few women. Now, this is pretty radical. Women don't do that sort of thing back then. And here's Joanna. Not only is she with the disciples, she is helping to finance and resource them. I guess she's buying all the tucker and, you know, whatever it takes. She is resourcing, obviously with her husband's blessing. I think what we're seeing here, ladies and gentlemen, is a liberated woman. Would you agree? In a society where they are put down, she's going, nah, stuff the lot is. I'm going to follow Jesus. And she hits the road with Jesus and the disciples and some other women, and she provides some money and some resources to keep the show on the road, as it were. Jesus is always about liberation. Every life he touches gets liberated. It's quite a story, isn't it? And that's just an example of the liberation that Jesus Christ came to give. Here's a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German theologian who was shot by Hitler's mob because he dared to speak out against Hitler in Germany. He wrote many books and was a notable Lutheran theologian. Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He said this, a prison cell in which one waits and hopes and is completely dependent on the fact that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside is not a bad picture of Advent, Christmas. Think about that. A good picture of Advent is being in a prison cell knowing that the door of freedom has to be opened from the outside, and that's what Jesus' arrival, his birth, his life, and his death, and his resurrection are about. Opening the door. Now, human beings can be captive to all sorts of things, correct? That's not rocket science. We can become captive to drugs, to alcohol, to impurity, to food, to exercise, to religion, to family, to work, fear, thrill-seeking, and a million other things. We can be captive to depression, to the darkness that comes with it, and to the isolation and the loneliness that we feel. Don't move yet, Gail. I told her when I dragged the whiteboard over that she was going to get up, but no, not yet. Things that we need liberating from. Now, it might not be your personal experience. It might be someone else's. I don't care. Just want you to yell them out. Sorry? Yeah. Let's take some stuff. Just yell it out. Stuff you... Hey?
Social media.
Social media. So the media. Okay, I'll just put media because that's easier to spell. Yeah, don't believe everything the media tells you. Inadequacy. Yeah. Okay. That's a biggie. Yep. In. Ad. E. See. Right? We're on a roll here. Yes? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Parental control. Can I just put control there? Okay. Is that right? Because relationships that control are not relationships, they're manipulation. Okay. So let's just put control. We all know what we mean. It can be that. All right. Put control down here. Insecurity. We can be bound by insecurity. Yep. What was the other one? Fear. Fear was in here somewhere. Yep.
Approval.
You're looking for approval, yeah. That's like the insecurity thing. Can I leave that with insecurity? Okay. Oh, addiction was up there too. Yeah, of course. Let's put addiction here. Selfishness. Whoop, I've got problems here. Think ahead. Was that Wayne? Didn't you? Oh. Pride, yeah, we need liberation from pride. That can stuff up everything, can't it, if you pride. Pride. Of course, abuse.
Behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, look at me. Look at me. Okay, that'll do for now, but you get the impression that it is a limitless thing. We could write these all day. Right, now this is going to be tricky. Something wrong there, but don't worry about it. Yeah, it's... Be very careful. Left-handers are taking over the world. Okay. We're going to pull it in soon, so if your stomach's rumbling, don't worry about it. What was that?
OCD.
Or we'll put OCD. Okay, now what are we going to do with all this? I think you can see what's going on here. Ah. Who would have thunk? It's going to be out of proportion, but who cares? Let's put... Oh, thank you. I'm a rock star. Does that count? All right. Now, Now, I was going to put a nail in every one of those, but I won't bother, okay? I'd be here all day and you'd be... This is the cross of Christ. All right, just make it a bit rough looking. Because it wasn't pretty. It wasn't planed and varnished and stained. Some suggested it was just a tree. Well, whatever it was not nice. As always, the cross is the answer. And if you'll allow me one more quote, because it's from a song that Bono wrote for Michael Hutchins. Another one? Stuck in a moment, you can't get out of it. Didn't need to do that, Michael. And they were good friends, and they'd sort of had this little pact, like, we'd never take our own lives. That's just dumb, a dumb thing to do. So stuck in a moment, you can't get out of it, was for Michael. And it's so easy, no matter what you're battling with, whatever we need liberating from, to feel like there's no way out. There is. And God's plan, God's destiny, God's hope for us, that we will be totally liberated from anything that holds us back, from everything that we can possibly be in His plan. Got a little video clip we're going to put up here now. This is just... put it up, but pause it. This really happened. This is just one portrayal, and I picked it because it's the shortest version. And in World War I, 1914, it was Christmas Eve. It's France. The Germans are on one side. The English and the Scots are on the other. I think there's some French there too. And it was Christmas Eve. And suddenly they hear this voice from the German trenches. Hey, Tommy! Because they call the British out. Hey, your mother wears combat boots. You know, all sorts of stuff. So they are starting to communicate. And one German just gets up. And the Brits can't believe themselves. They believe their eyes. They go, yeah, baby, look at this. Hang on. He's got his arms up. Anyway, let's watch this. There's a few versions, but some say they played a bit of football. Some say they sung carols together. I think the truth is that a Scot on the Allied side played a carol on the bagpipes. And a German guy in the other trenches with a great voice starts responding by singing Holy Night, not Holy Night, Silent Night. But it was a magic moment and powerful testimony to what Christmas can do in liberating people from the expectations of the war machine that said, you go there, you kill each other. This is what happened. Thanks.
English carols is very beautiful. Hey, Tommy. Hey, are you still there?
Yeah.
You drink with us. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's whiskey.
Yes! Sling it over!
Tomorrow we meet you in the middle.
Aye, the middle of Piccadilly.
It's funny to hear them speaking English.
Yeah, well, they learned it all at school, didn't they? See you in the penalty area.
Happy Christmas!
Happy Christmas! Good night, Jerry.
Jim?
Oh, guitar.
I won't. God's truth. Stick. Blender through.
We are warm already.
Hey, Jack.
Twist.
Let's see. 16 and 10.
Hey!
Tommy.
Alles gut, ja?
Oh, ja, ja. Jetzt trinken wir Schnaps.
Well, bloody time, too.
That's good stuff, Jerry.
Hey, thank you very much. Better, sir. Fritz.
Huh. How are you, Fritz?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. How's the Kaiser? Feutel.
How do you do, Hawkins?
Do you know when the war will end?
After our spring offensive, I should think.
Die Arns mit Hens Arns, Arns,
How are your trenches?
Terrible. Not fit for pigs. When it rains, we're up to our knees in mud and water.
And you're sick of the war?
Before the war, I was staying in Suffolk. And I left there a 3 1/2 horsepower motorcycle. And also a girl.
Hey, do you hear that?
This chap's got a girlfriend in Suffolk. You can send her a message.
What?
Telling her that I'm all right over here. I mean, I will write name and address for you.
I suppose it's all right.
Cigarette?
As a Virginian?
Right, straight cut.
No, nein, danke. I only smoke Turkish. Have a cigar.
We will not ever shoot again. Unless you start.
Do you hear that? That'll suit us, man, I can tell you. Here. We'll drink to that. That is Scottish schnapps.
This is your guns that are shooting.
No. It's a bastard English. No us.
They will not shoot at us while you are here.
Don't believe that, man. It's us they're shooting at.
Oh, well. Thanks very much, mate, and give my love to the comment.
Okay, I'm getting a bit over-enthusiastic with that cup of water there. What strikes you about that? None of them wanted to be there, and we're all human. At the end of the day, when you get to know people, they're not the weird person you think they are. They're not the aggressive war machine you thought they were. They're just brothers. Like I said, you know, he had a girlfriend in Suffolk. And they dared to be liberated from the expectations of their leaders and go, nah, this is Christmas. We should be making something of it. They were doing their little bit towards making the world a better place without using their guns. Found this poem. This is where we're going to wrap it up. So Gail and Nate, and Guy, you can move now. Look at this poem. It's probably a bit hard to see from up the back or through me, so I will read it. I'll stand here and read it off here. It's about us doing our part in God's liberating plan, all right? It's called Princes and Kings. Isn't it strange how princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common people like you and me are builders for eternity. Each is given a list of rules, a shapeless mass, a bag of tools, and each must fashion, ere life is flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. As we move beyond the Christmas manger scene each year, back to our posting, wherever life takes us, school, office, networks, community of the broken, our neighbourhood. In this work of the kingdom, it's imperative, friends, that we do two things. One, be aware of our own stuff. Self-awareness is a gift. And it continues to unfold or unravel as we allow it. Ask yourself, what do I need to be liberated from next? Something that we'd nailed to the cross or something else that you didn't yell out? And the other thing we've got to do is allow the Spirit of Jesus to keep a fire burning in our hearts, a passion for the liberation of all people, wherever and however we meet them. So we are sowing and living in faith and in hope and redemption and purpose. May God help us to be part of God's liberator team. Just listen to this. My chains are gone. If you'd like me to pray for you, I'm more than happy to pray for you. I'm just an imperfect follower of Jesus who hasn't got all the answers, but I'd be privileged to pray with you if that's what you'd like today.